back to school. Hard knocks for all I seem to get. Perhaps I've been a fool. But still, some educated folks who seem to be so swell would fail if they were called upon. They're simple. Now, if you'd like to put me to a test, there's one dear name that I can spell the best. M is for the million things she gave me. Is for the tears she shed to save me. H is for her heart of purest gold. E is for her eyes where love lights shining. R means right. Heard. My folks were very proud of me, for mother was the word. Although I'll never lay a claim to fame, I'm satisfied that I can spell the name. M is for the mercy she possesses. O means that I owe her all I owe. T is for her tender, sweet caresses. H is for her hands that made. Everything she's done to help me. R means real and regular, you see. Put them all together, they spell mother. A word that means the world.
Since this is Mother's Day and we set this day aside to honor our mothers for all that they've done for us, I tried my best to put together a sermon concerning mothers. And maybe I have to apologize, but I couldn't put one together. So I hope it's no offense to to you mothers out there, but I really feel that the Lord led me in a different direction this night. Sometimes when we stand up here, when we look out over the congregation, you know, sometimes you can tell that the things that are said up here just shoot right over almost everyone's head. And other times you can almost tell that people are listening and you can see in their mind that sure applies to such and such a person, and we fail to apply it to ourselves. Possibly what I have to bring forth tonight does not apply to everyone. But I would ask that you would listen and possibly sift it in your minds. Take that part that would apply to your life, and the other we can forget if we wish. Sometimes people will say, well, I'm trying so hard. And then somebody gets up and tells us we're not doing so good. And I know that that discourages sometimes, and this is not meant to discourage anyone. Certainly not the ones that are trying their best. But I would hope to bring to our memory, I know, some thoughts or obligations of those things that we need to inherit eternal life. I'd like to begin reading two verses from the first song. It says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. That poses a question to me. As individuals and as a group, my question is our delight in the law of the Lord? And do we meditate on him day and night? The first verse says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. That man that heeds not the sayings, the leadings of those that would not be of a godly nature. Anyone who would teach us contrary to the laws of God, that would lead us to do things that are not of God, to me, would be hearkening to the counsels of the ungodly. The thing may be innocent or appear to be innocent, but if we pursued a certain path, it may lead to our destruction. Blessed is the man that doesn't stand in the way of sinners. It doesn't partake of those things that are not of God, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. We're to stay away from ungodly and sinners in those ways. I'd like to read one verse from page 640 in the Book of Mormon. We'll go back to this later and read a few more verses from the same page. But I'd like to read the 115th verse. It says, no man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. can't serve the God of riches, God of the world, God of greed. I guess tonight I would like to bring forth, set our mind that we have to commit ourselves wholly to this gospel of Jesus Christ. That we can't, more so in these latter days, we cannot partake of the things of the world and the things of God. We have to make a choice. First John, the second chapter. Beginning at the 15th verse, it says, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him." Now, I hate to say it, brothers and sisters, but to a certain extent, the love of the world is in our midst. The love of those things that are contrary to God, are contrary to His commandments, and are contrary to the things that we promised that when we entered into the waters of baptism that we'd no more partake of. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. If we do the things of the world, if we fall after the lust of our eyes and the lust of the flesh and partake of those things of the world, says the world will pass away and the lust thereof. But if we do the will of God, follow after Him, He says we'll abide forever. Page 640 again in the Book of Mormon says, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt and thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust does corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Where our treasure is. What is our treasure? Is our treasure this gospel? Or is our treasure the things of the world? Do we value more this gospel and following its commandments and reaping the rewards and the benefits? Or is our thoughts and our treasures of the world and the things that it brings? Are our treasures having a good time? Are our treasures following after those things that would appear bring us happiness and joy? Where our treasure is, there our heart be. It says, the light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? First Peter, fourth chapter. Twelfth verse says, "Beloved, Think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's suffering, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye. For the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part he is evil spoken of, but on your part he is glorified. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, as a thief, or as an evildoer, or as a busybody in other men's matters. Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. If he be reproached for the name of Christ. Sometimes I think we're ashamed, that we're ashamed of Christ. And I think we show that shame by the things that we do, by the things that we partake of, not standing up for what we really believe is right, but going the way of the world and following after the leadings of people that would tempt us to do other things. Instead of standing up and being counted, we partake of things that we have no business partaking of. It says, for the time is come that judgment must begin at the house of God. If it first begin at us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? And if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? Wherefore, let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to him in well-doing as unto a faithful Creator. And I read that, especially the 18th verse. It says, if the righteous scarcely be saved. To me, that puts quite a burden upon my shoulders to do the best I can, to live as righteous a life as I am capable of. For it puts a burden upon me to do my best, and even when I do my best, I'm scarcely going to be saved. And I got thinking of those that may be fence sitters, those that may be hot or cold, those that may partake of things of the world that we have no business partaking of. Those that feel they've done their duty to God to attend church once a week, twice a week. Those that feel they've done their duty but just being numbered among the Church of Christ. I'll be honest with you, my heart gets heavy when I think of what is required and what we give. I'm fearful. And it seems no matter what we say or what we do to encourage people or turn their hearts and their minds from evil ways, sometimes it seems to fall on deaf ears. There's a great burden upon each of us to be a righteous people, not only as individuals, but as a group. Hebrews chapter 5. I'm just going to read the 14th verse, but I think leading up to that, that quite possibly he was speaking to the ministry of his day. But I think we can apply it to each of us. It says, but the strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of youth have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Quite possibly that's a lacking that we have, that we cannot discern between good and evil. That we have it made up in our own minds to our own way of thinking what is good and what is evil, and we don't rely on God to show us. That we've lost that discernment to discern that possibly some of the things that we're partaking of are not of God. And brothers and sisters, if they're not of God, they're evil. It says, by reason of youths have their senses exercised. We have to exercise. We have to pray. We have to study. We have to speak one to another of this gospel. We have to seek the Lord. We have to pray. My brother, Marvin Ely, and I can't remember the last time that he hasn't urged us to pray for discernment. And I think that's very important. Not only discernment in our services, but discernment of what is good and what is evil. And not to rely on our own mind and our own what we want or what we don't want, but to give up our own will and follow the Lord's will. John urged us to try the spirits. He says, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God. Because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Try the spirits. Make sure, be certain which spirit we are following. Which one is leading us? Possibly have to ask ourselves, what is most important? Where do I want to be? Do I want to be numbered among God's people? And if we want to be numbered among God's people, it requires certain things of us. And we have to make up our mind that we're willing to perform those things that are required. To turn our backs on certain things and to open our hearts and minds to other things. And I'm convinced if we persist in the things of the world, however innocent we may think they are, however, or whatever, if we persist in them, we'll fall by the wayside. It's up to us. It's up to each individual person exactly what they want out of life. Whether it's the gospel of Jesus Christ or whether it's to follow after our own desires. James, the first chapter. I'd like to start at the 12th verse. It said, "Blessed is the man that endureth temptation. For when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life. Which the Lord has promised to them that love him. Let no man say, when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. And when that lust has conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death." Every one of us, every man, woman, and child here is going to be tempted. We can either resist that temptation, or we can give in to it. The Lord says that if we desire to overcome that temptation, that He'll provide a way. But we have to want to. We have to want to overcome that temptation. We have to resist. And if we seek the Lord, He'll certainly help us. But we have to be of a strong mind, and we have to be of a mind to honestly and sincerely seek the Lord. We can't be double-minded. We can't at one moment desire that the Lord would help us overcome that temptation, and the next moment desire to follow after it. We're going to have to make up our minds who we're serving. Are we serving God, or are we serving the world? It says, "Do not err, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself, and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the word, this man shall be blessed in his deed." If we're just hearers and not doers, it says, straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. Doesn't stay with us. We hear it, we have to do it, we have to follow it. We have to make up our minds who we're going to serve. Ephesians chapter 4. Twentieth verse, "But ye have not so learned Christ, if so be that ye have heard him, and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off, concerning the former conversation, the old man." And conversation is our walk of life, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. We're to put off the old man and take upon us a new man, a Christ-like person. And we can't take upon us a new man if one moment we're seeking after Christ and the next we're seeking after the world. We have to do one or the other. Be ye angry and sin not, let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. There's another scripture that says we're to avoid the very appearance of evil. And I think that this one sort of go hand in hand with that scripture. It says, neither give place to the devil. We're to avoid the appearance of evil. We're to keep away from those things that would give place for the devil. Our thoughts, our desires, where we are, what we do. Just as importantly, what we don't do sometimes. We don't attend church. We don't fellowship one with another. We don't accept counsel from the Lord. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather have let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. I'm sure each of us many times have grieved the Spirit of God, have done things that would cause sorrow. It says, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you. Be therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love, as Christ also has loved us and has given himself for us, an offering and sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you, as becometh saints. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this ye know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. But no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them, for ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. We're not to be partakers anymore of those evil things. Brothers and sisters, when we entered the waters of baptism, and we came out a new creature, a creature forgiven, pure and clean before God, it's our responsibility to walk in God's paths. It's not for us to turn back to those things of the world and to be drawn away from this gospel of Christ. It says, be not ye therefore partakers with them. We're not to have anything to do with them. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. Not only not to have any fellowship with them or do them, we're admonished not even to speak of them. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light, for whatsoever doth make manifest his light. Wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepeth, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Brothers and sisters, I'm convinced that the will of the Lord is not to fall follow after the works of the world, to seek those things that are evil. But the will of the Lord is to walk righteously, to walk in the footsteps of our Lord and Master. Just be not unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Seek the Lord's counsel. Don't turn from it, but seek it. Turn our backs on the world. Turn our backs on evil ways. Remove ourselves from the world. The second chapter of James. Starting at the 14th verse. He says, "What does it profit, my brother, though a man say he has faith and have not works, can faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, Depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding ye give them not those things which are needful to the body, what does it profit? Even so, faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Yea, a man may say, Thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Thou believest that there is one God? Thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead?" What are our works? Are our works works of righteousness? Or are our works works of unrighteousness? First John, the fourth chapter again. The seventh verse says, "Behold, let us love one another. For love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God, and knoweth God. For he that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. And this was manifest, the love of God towards us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another." I read that to point out the necessity of each of us to love one another. Even though we may feel that someone is not walking in the ways of truth, let us not condemn that person. Let us not speak evil. But let us show our love and our concern. Let us, through love, lift each other up. Page 40 in the Book of Mormon. You know, in these latter days, we read in the scriptures and we see that the wrath of God will shortly be poured out upon the children of man. We read of great and terrible things that are going to come upon this earth. And we read the newspapers and we can see at least the beginning of that fulfillment. You can't open the newspaper without seeing, reading of wars, of earthquakes, of famines, of diseases, of unrest. That unrest is beginning to creep into this country. It behooves us, as followers of our Lord and Master Jesus Christ, to present ourselves before Him in such a manner that He would be pleased with us. I'd like to read a few verses from Nephi's vision concerning these latter days. I'd like to turn to page 40, verse 220. And he said unto me, Behold, there are saved two churches only. The one is the church of the Lamb of God, and the other is the church of the devil. Wherefore, whoso belongeth not to the church of the Lamb of God belongeth to that great church, which is the mother of abominations. And she is the whore of all the earth. And it came to pass that I looked and beheld the whore of the earth, and she sat upon many waters, and she had dominion over all the earth among all nations, kindreds, tongues, and people. And it came to pass that I beheld the church of the Lamb of God, and its numbers were few, because of the wickedness and abominations of the whore who sat upon the many waters. Nevertheless, I beheld that the church of the Lamb, who were the saints of God, were also upon all the face of the earth, and their dominion upon the face of the earth were small because of the wickedness of the great whore whom I saw. And it came to pass that I beheld that the great mother of abominations did gather together in multitudes upon the face of the earth among all the nations of the Gentiles to fight against the Lamb of God. And it came to pass that I, Nephi, beheld the power of the Lamb of God, that he descended upon the saints of the church of the Lamb and upon the covenant people of the Lord, who were scattered upon all the face of the earth, and they were armed with righteousness, with the power of God and great glory. They were armed with righteousness. That leaves me with a question. Are we clothed with righteousness? Are we clothed with the works of righteousness, or are we clothed with the works of unrighteousness? In the 25th chapter of Matthew, we read of the 10 virgins, and 5 were foolish and 5 were wise. And you note that the 5 wise just barely had enough oil in their lamps. Their righteousness was just sufficient to enter in. And you note also that all 10 slumbered and slept. The 5 foolish waited to the last moment. And they found they didn't have time. And they went and they got oil, and when they came back, the door was closed. Brothers and sisters, if the Lord closes that door, there's no one here that can open it. It lays a great responsibility upon our shoulders to be a righteous people. For those that are unrighteous cannot enter in, only the righteous. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of the sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law does he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish.